We're going to begin our worship by singing praise to God. The psalm with which we begin our worship is on your printed order of service. We stand as we sing and we remain standing for prayer. The opening psalm is Psalm 23. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie. In pastures green, he leadeth me, the quiet waters by. Let's stand as we sing praise and remain standing for prayer. Now let us unite together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, we gather in this meeting house this afternoon, reminded again of the truthfulness of your word. There is a time to be born. There is a time to die. We acknowledge before you, Lord God, that you are the giver of life. The one who created each one of us. Your word tells us that it is in you that we live and we move and we have our very existence. That the breath of every living creature is in the palm of your hand. As such, Lord God, we come and acknowledge that you are the one who gives us life, and we return to you thanksgiving for the very breath of life that each one of us here today enjoy, for the measure of health and strength with which you have blessed us. We come acknowledging that as God, you are the one who ought to be worshipped and adored. But we confess, Lord God, that because of our sinfulness, that rather than giving you the praise and the worship that is due to you, by nature we are rebellious. We are far from you. We are your enemies. But we thank you, Lord God, today that you did not leave us in our sinful, fallen state. That in your grace and in your mercy, you have provided a wonderful means by which we, sinful human beings, can be reconciled to you, the Holy God. We thank you for the unspeakable gift of Jesus Christ, your Son. We thank you that because of him, because of who he is, and because of what he has done, we can gather today and reflect upon the great issues of life and death with a confidence and assurance that even though by nature we are sinners, by grace we can become those who are justified before you. We thank you for all that Christ is and all that he has done in order to secure salvation for all who truly believe in him and trust in him. Thank you, Lord God, that many gathered here today have been brought by grace into that saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And we rejoice that the one whom we remember today at this service of thanksgiving, your servant Ruby Boyd, was one upon whom you set your redeeming love, one whom you called to yourself, one who by grace came and before the Saviour repented of her sins and trusted him as Saviour. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the 77 years that she walked hand in hand with Christ throughout her 84 years of life. We praise you for the wonderful testimony that she has left behind, for the way in which she was a faithful wife to her husband Tommy, a faithful mother to her sons, a faithful mother-in-law and grandmother, relative, a faithful member of this congregation. Lord God, we praise you for a life well lived and a life died in Christ. We thank you that she died knowing that to be absent from the body was to be present with the Lord, and that she had that absolute assurance as she walked through the valley of the shadow of death that the Lord, her shepherd, was with her. Thank you for the words we just sung, that in God's house forevermore our dwelling place shall be. Thank you, O God, that those words are true of our friend and our loved one who has departed from us. As we come before you today, we ask, Lord God, that the solemnity of this occasion will be real to each one of us. You've told us it is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting, because this is the end of all men, and that the living must lay it to heart. Help us to lay to heart, O God, the reality of the brevity of our own life and the ultimacy of our death. May your blessing be upon your servant who will read to us and preach from the Word of God. May the Holy Spirit take that word and really apply it to each one of us. Apply it in our minds, apply it to our hearts, and move us in our wills to be obedient to your calling. Lord, may you be with this family circle that is before us today, grieving and knowing the pain of loss. Help them, Lord God, to be those who, whilst they grieve, do not grieve as those who have no hope, that they might know the comfort that you, the great comforter, can give. We commit ourselves to you then and ask you to be with us and to bless us at this time in your presence, and may everything that is said be to the glory and honour of your great name. All that we ask is in and through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. Congregation, please be seated. Before the Reverend Tim Donaghy comes to read from God's Word and to preach from the Scriptures, one of Ruby's grandchildren, her grandson James, is going to come and give a tribute to his grandmother.
Everyone is here to give thanks for the life of Rebecca Boyd, or known to us as Nanny Ruby. We thought we would like to give some background to our Nanny. Nanny was born on the 21st of May 1937 in Clinchy to Robert and Sarah Campbell, sister to the late Bobby. She was raised in Clinchy, where she thoroughly enjoyed her time as a valued member of the Girls' Brigade and attended Ballymacashan Reformed Presbyterian under the Reverend Alexander Gilmore. Nanny put her trust in the Lord at the age of 7. After attending school, she then went on to learn shorthand typing at the Tech. Nanny then went on to work at two large firms in Belfast as a secretary, where she thoroughly enjoyed her work alongside her good friend Irene McGowan, who was later on her bridesmaid at her wedding. And she told us often about how she loved to share her witness in the workplace. Nanny met Grandad Tommy at Campbell's Mill in Glasgow many years before the relationship started in 1955. The relationship continued for several years, with Grandad travelling to Lisbain from Donaghmore on his motorbike. I now know what you're thinking, Ruby on a motorbike. Yes, apparently Nanny was on the back of the motorbike with only a headscarf, and in those days this was a common occurrence. When they reached their destination, Nanny often had to give her dress a good rub from the remains of the oil. This went on for a few years until they got married on the 25th of October 1961 in Ballymacashan Reformed Presbyterian, followed by a reception in Park Avenue Hotel in Belfast. They set up a home in Donaghmore, where Nanny got stuck helping with the farm, feeding pigs and calves, and of course making sure all the workers were all fed with wheaten bannocks and apple tarts. Later in life, she also played a key role in caring for family, especially her father-in-law and mother at home, and regularly visiting her only brother in Lisbain. Nanny and Granda were the founding members of the CEF Mornery Committee, and Nanny was appointed as secretary for CEF. She faithfully served in this role for 40 years and ran various children's meetings in the local area. She has always remained greatly interested in the work of CEF and was greatly pleased last year to see that our Louise went into full-time work in the North East Down area as a CEF worker. In 1962, Stephen was born, followed by John in 1964 and Colin in 1968. There's many of an interesting story that we could tell about the three boys, but that'll probably take a while. We're sure Nanny was glad to see Gwen, Ruth, Claire come along to take them off their hands. And when the grandchildren came along, it was certainly balanced the whole thing out with 5 girls and 2 boys. Nanny always took great interest in our education, making sure that our homework was well done to the highest standard. There was also plenty of fun too, with painting, baking and lots of sleepovers. Nanny loved to see us all regularly. But most importantly, Nanny was a great godly influence in all our lives. We can also see the tremendous influence on not only our own children, daughter-in-laws and grandchildren, but also those she taught in Sunday school, CEF, and anyone that she came in contact during the 77-year walk with the Lord. Nanny's only desire was that she would be a witness with anyone that she met, so they would come to know the gospel and have Christ as their own Saviour. Nanny Ruby was also much involved in the life of the church here, with the children's work, and she always was very hospitable and welcoming not only to visiting ministers, but also to members of the congregation. Nanny and Granda had a very active life together, visiting and hosting family and friends, and taking holidays together, Christian fellowship tours, from 2002. However, from August 2021, Nanny's health deteriorated with recent months with particularly difficult, but we were grateful to celebrate their 60th wedding anniversary with the whole family in the Belmont. Their marriage has been an inspiration to us all. It is a true example of a godly marriage, showing a selfless love and devotion towards each other. This was evident every single day through small gestures and great sense of tenderness, respectfulness and admiration for one another. Nanny always described Granda as one in a million. We have all saw this in ourselves over the years, but especially in recent weeks, as Granda has cared attentively for Nanny with gentle nature, patience and faithful love, never leaving her side. We could talk all day about our memories, but up the road with Nanny and Granda, and although it's difficult to describe Nanny in words, we could say that she was godly, patient, selfless and just a real lady. However, as we have chatted about over the recent days, we think that the best way to describe Nanny Ruby is how Granda described her recently at the 60th wedding anniversary. We were reminded of this again when Granda repeated it this week as we all gathered together with Nanny as a family. In the words of Proverbs 31, verses 10 to 14 and 26 to 30. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like merchant ships, she bringeth her food from afar. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellent them all. Favour is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. We will greatly miss Nanny Ruby, but we have all had such a peace that an understanding, knowing that she is now at home with the Lord. We as a family would like to thank all those involved with Nanny Ruby's healthcare, including all the hospital staff and paramedics involved back in August, the NHS community nurses, Mary Curie nurses, the Life and Time nurses, and the surgery and pharmacy staff here in Lochbrickland who have provided care and support recently. We would also especially like to thank Nanny and Granda's three daughter-in-laws, Gwen, Ruth, and Claire, for all their care in keeping Nanny at home, which meant we were all able to spend treasured time with her. Finally, the family would like to thank everyone who has helped in any way through prayers, kindness and generosity over the last few days, through provision of food and support, whether in person or through messages. Also to the ministers Reverend Robert Robb and Reverend Tim Donoghue for their participation today and the session, and the church deacons for their help and support. Also like to thank Robert Brady for his efficient and professional manner in which he has carried out his duties over the last few days. It has all been very much appreciated by all the family. Thank you.
It's a great privilege for me to be here today. I enjoyed hospitality in Tommy and Ruby's house, and I remember her telling me about how she rode on the back of his motorbike and how she had to wipe off the oil. How you described her is so true, a godly lady, and we shall miss her. I want to read from the Word of God, from the Gospel according to John, and the 11th chapter. Chapter 11 of the Gospel according to John. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee there, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. When Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had said so, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she arose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he's been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him, and let him go. And we give thanks to God for this reading of his infallible and inerrant word. During his time on the earth, the Lord Jesus Christ had many friends. There were, of course, that special group, his disciples, who were with him in most of his journeyings. And there were some very special friends, what we might call intimate friends. And amongst those friends was this little family in the town of Bethany, Martha, Mary, and their brother Lazarus. Many times the Lord Jesus Christ had times of rest and refreshment away from the crowds and away from his busy life. He found refuge in their house from his exhausting ministry. And then one day, when Jesus and his disciples were away from Bethany, the sisters sent word that their brother was sick. And quite naturally, the disciples expected that Jesus would immediately set off and go back to Bethany. After all, the message from the sisters was, he whom thou lovest is sick. So you would think that he would have immediately turned round and gone back to Bethany. Most surprisingly, Jesus delayed another 2 days before setting off for Bethany, saying to his disciples, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. The disciples evidently misunderstood what Jesus meant. And so Jesus spoke plainly to them, Lazarus is dead. We want to look at some issues concerning this. And the first thing that we notice here is a precious relationship. A precious relationship. Lazarus was not just somebody that the Lord Jesus Christ knew. He was a friend. Lazarus enjoyed a close and intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The message that was sent to Jesus about the illness of Lazarus said, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. What an astonishing thing to say. Here was this man who was a friend of Jesus, and not just a friend of Jesus, but an intimate friend of Jesus, someone of whom they could say, the Lord loves him. But the reality is that this is the foundation of all true religion. A personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There is nothing more important in anyone's life than that he becomes a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ through faith. There is nothing more important in the life of a human being than to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do not have that personal relationship, then quite simply, in terms of what the scripture says, you're lost. You're lost. It's the most important thing that can ever happen in anyone's life. And that is why the sadness of this day is eased. For Ruby enjoyed this personal relationship with Christ for many years. And Jesus could say of her, as he said of Lazarus, "My friend Ruby." She was a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ for many years. And now, whilst the family sorrows and her friends sorrow, she is enjoying the intimate presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom she loved. A precious relationship. The second thing that we notice is a present reality. When Jesus told the disciples that Lazarus was sleeping, they misunderstood what he was telling them. It was only when he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead," that they understood. And it is true in a certain sense that death for the believer is also likened to sleep. We have numerous incidents in the scriptures. For example, God's message to David through Nathan when he lost his son was, "And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee," and so on. When Stephen was martyred in Acts chapter 7, and he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge," having said that, he fell asleep. And in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 13 it says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Now, the use of the word sleep doesn't imply some kind of soul sleep, but merely that the soul of the believer is asleep to the world he has left, and so is at rest. Think about it. At rest from sin and temptation. Like all believers, Ruby was tempted. She is now free from that temptation. At rest from sorrow. In the last weeks of her life, she knew much of sorrow and pain. But she is free from sorrow and pain. She is at rest from danger. For there is no way that Satan can now attack her. She is free from that, at rest. And the most blessed thing for the family is that she is at rest in the arms of the Saviour whom she loved for so many years. The soul is in the great, glorious presence of the Lord, while the body rests in the grave until the day of resurrection. As it says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 8, absent from the body, present with the Lord. The death of a believer is not like the death of an unbeliever. There is confidence that the friend of Christ, at the moment of their death, passes immediately into the presence of their beloved Lord. You can almost hear the words, the Lord Jesus Christ saying to Ruby, "Welcome, friend. I've known you for many years. Welcome." Thirdly, a painful sorrow. Although Jesus knew that he was going to bring Lazarus back to life, the pain and suffering, the pain and sorrow that he felt were real and genuine. We have that verse in John chapter 3. We have that verse that we read. He says, Jesus wept. He felt the deep sorrow of the loss of a beloved friend. He felt what we feel. But his sorrow and ours is not like those that have no hope. We do not sorrow today for Ruby, for there is nothing to be sorry about. We do not sorrow for her, for she is in the presence of the Lord. But we sorrow for those who remain, for Tommy, for the three sons and their wives and the grandchildren. They will miss her presence. They will miss her love. They will miss everything about her. Sad they are that they will not see her face anymore on this earth. But even with that, there is hope. There is hope. First of all, that the departed one, Ruby, is in the presence of the Lord forever. She will never again be without the presence of her Saviour. She will be there forever. Secondly, that Ruby is enjoying that which she longed for while she was here on this earth. She longed for the presence of the Lord. She enjoyed his presence in prayer and in worship, but now she is in his immediate presence. The third thing that gives us hope is that we will meet again if we trust in the same Saviour as Ruby trusted. David, King David, said after the death of his son, I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. Ruby will not come back here. But if we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall go to her. We shall see her again in the presence of the Lord. The third thing and the final thing, a proper reflection. What took place with Lazarus was so unusual and so spectacular that it caused the people who witnessed it to think very deeply about it. It raised questions that demanded an answer. We see that in the end of that chapter that I read in John chapter 11. It raised questions about Jesus. Who is this man? How was he able to do what he did? Is this the Messiah? It caused them to ask questions about death. Is death permanent? What happens after death? Questions about their own condition in the sight of God. And these same questions are before us today. Who is this Jesus who raises the dead and promises eternal life to all who believe? For some of us, Jesus is the blessed Son of God. He is the one who came to this earth to save sinners. Sadly, for some here, Jesus is nothing more than a man. A good man, perhaps. A special man. But just a man. But has ever man raised the dead? Jesus, the Son of God, raised the dead. And he promises to give to all those who trust in him everlasting life in the presence of the Lord. The second question is this. What will happen to me when my time comes? What happens to me when my time to die comes? Will you be able, like Ruby, to embrace it. To embrace it because she knew that she had been redeemed. Because she knew that she was going into the presence of her Lord and Saviour. What about you? What would happen to you when your time comes? Will you be facing nothing but darkness and destruction because you don't know the Saviour? Today, we are faced with the reality of death. We will all die, some of us sooner than others, but we will all die, and one day we must face what the Scripture says is the judgment. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. You see, Ruby can face the judgment because she has Jesus standing at her side to advocate for her. What about you? What about you? What will happen to you when the time of your passing comes? And the third question, what is my condition in the sight of God? Am I a friend of Jesus? Am I a friend of Jesus? Am I one loved by the Lord Jesus Christ? Could the Lord Jesus Christ say of you, my friend, the one I love? You see, if you can't say that, then the wrath of God is still upon you. If you cannot say that, then truly you have no hope. It is my desire and prayer for you today that you know the Saviour that Ruby knew, that the Lord Jesus Christ may be able to say of you, when the time comes for your death, as he was able to say for Ruby, my friend Ruby is dead. My friend Ruby. Could he say of you, my friend, the one I love? We must all pass this way, but we may not all pass this way in the same way. There will be those here who will pass this way with hope, with rejoicing, with gladness. But there will be some, I fear, that will pass this way in sadness, despair, and emptiness. May God so speak to us that we this day may know that we are friends of the Lord Jesus Christ, those who love him and are loved by him. Now we bring our service to a close as we sing what was Ruby's favourite psalm, Psalm 116. Psalm 116. I love the Lord, because my voice and prayers he did hear. I, while I live, will call on him who bowed to me his ear. Of death, the cords and sorrows did about me compass round. The pains of hell took hold on me. I grief and trouble found. Upon the name of God the Lord, then did I call and say, deliver thou my soul, O Lord. I do thee humbly pray. God merciful and righteous is, yea, gracious is our Lord. God saves the meek. I was brought low. He did me help afford. O thou my soul, do thou return unto thy quiet rest. For largely, lo, the Lord to thee his bounty hath expressed. For my distressed soul from death delivered was by thee. Thou didst my mourning eyes from tears, my feet from falling. We stand to sing praise to God and remain standing for the benediction. And now receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.